He was plotting to kill, to attack American facilities.
Let's give some information about what precipitated the killing of an Iranian general. It's Wednesday, January 8th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. You are part of this program. Join us, please, on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, the South Korean leader calls for desperate measures to improve ties with North Korea. What some call the world's biggest adult toy store opens in Las Vegas. And you'll hear another way of growing lettuce in Japan. It all comes your way on today's VOA Asia. In the White House Oval Office Tuesday, President Donald Trump told reporters the U.S. military is totally prepared should Tehran carry out threatened retribution for America's targeted killing of one of its military generals.
He's been called a monster, and he was a monster. And he's no longer a monster. He's dead.
Other high-ranking U.S. officials said Tuesday that Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general the U.S. killed in a drone strike, posed a distinct threat to Americans in the Middle East, but again publicly offered no specific evidence of any attack he was about to carry out. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told reporters that multiple pieces of information from intelligence sources were given to President Trump before Trump made the decision to target Soleimani in last week's attack that killed him in Iraq at the Baghdad airport.
Department of Defense did excellent work, and the president had a entirely legal, appropriate, and a basis, as well as a decision that fit perfectly within our strategy and how to counter the threat of malign activity from Iran more broadly.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said Soleimani was plotting to attack American facilities. But similar to Pompeo, O'Brien offered no specifics on the timing of what Trump administration officials have called an imminent threat that Soleimani posed.
He was plotting to kill, to attack American facilities, and diplomats, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines were located at those facilities.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper, in an interview on CNN, characterized the evidence of Soleimani's malign activities in the Middle East as more than razor thin, saying Soleimani was caught red-handed meeting with a terrorist leader. This is not an innocent man, he said. Later, at a Pentagon news conference, Esper said he believed an attack planned by Soleimani was days away. He encouraged Iran to de-escalate tensions with the U.S. and open negotiations where they behave more like a normal country. Pompeo added that there were continuing efforts on behalf of this terrorist to build out a network of campaign activities that were going to lead potentially to the death of many more Americans. The top U.S. diplomat concluded that the drone attack was the right decision. He said, "We got it right." Iran has vowed to exact revenge for Soleimani's killing, with O'Brien saying, "We take those seriously and we're watching and monitoring them." But with Trump threatening to respond to any new attack, O'Brien said, "We hope that they're deterred and that they think twice about attacking America and its interests." Even as threats and counter-threats ricochet between Washington and Tehran, O'Brien said he believes the world is a safer place with the killing of Soleimani. Look over the past 4 months, the two greatest terrorist threats in the world, Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Soleimani, have both been taken off the battlefield, O'Brien said outside the White House. He said, "I think that makes us safer, and in fact, we've been congratulated and told that privately by world leaders from every region in the world who've reached out to congratulate us for this activity." In Iran, officials delayed Soleimani's burial, state media reported, after more than 50 people were killed in a stampede of mortars and more than 200 others injured. Tens of thousands of people had gathered to honor Soleimani in his hometown of Kerman before the planned burial, following similar ceremonies this week in Tehran, Qom, and Ahvaz. Many of the mortars screamed for retaliation against the United States for the killing of Soleimani. "No compromise, no submission, revenge," they shouted. Soleimani's killing has sparked fears of a wider conflict as the United States and Iran threaten strong responses to each other's actions. The Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif contended in a CNN interview that the U.S. killing of Soleimani, commander of the Revolutionary Guard's Quds Force, constituted state terrorism. With heightened tensions, Between the United States and Iran, Washington has denied Zarif a visit to travel to New York for upcoming UN meetings. Pompeo refused to spell out the reasons behind the denial of the visa. Following the airstrike, Iran announced it was further cutting its compliance with a 2015 agreement that restrained its nuclear program. That prompted Trump, who withdrew from the deal and applied new sanctions against Iran, to tweet on Monday, "Iran will never have a nuclear weapon." Meanwhile, Iraq's outgoing prime minister said Tuesday that the U.S. has no alternative and must pull its troops out of its country or else face an impending crisis as the remains of a senior Iraqi militia commander killed in a U.S. drone strike was brought to Iraq from Iran for burial. Abdel Abdul Mahdi, who resigned in November amid mass anti-government protests, said Iraq wants a U.S. troop withdrawal to avoid further escalation as tensions soar between America and Iran. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Tesla's Shanghai factory delivered its first cars to customers Monday, and Chief Executive Elon Musk said the electric automaker plans to step up a design center in China to create a model for worldwide sales. 4 children were killed, 5 injured alongside their teacher as an explosion hit while they collected firewood in an area of Myanmar's Rakhine State beset by fighting between the military and the Arakan Army rebels. Lawmakers in Pakistan's lower house of parliament voted Tuesday in support of extending the tenure of that country's army chief. Read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus voanews.com on our website. VOA Asia continues now. There is a desperate need for practical ways to improve ties with North Korea, the South's President Moon said on Tuesday, adding that he was ready to meet with the reclusive leader in Pyongyang repeatedly if necessary. Michelle Hennessy reports.
A warning from South Korea's president during his New Year's speech on Tuesday. Moon Jae-in used the annual address to say there's a, quote, desperate need for improving ties with North Korea, and said he regrets the lack of progress in negotiations.
In a time of deadlock in U.S.-North Korea talks, and where we're even concerned about a step backward in inter-Korean relations, we're in desperate need of practical ways to improve cooperation between the Koreas.
Moon added that he was ready to travel to Pyongyang again and repeatedly meet with reclusive leader Kim Jong-un if necessary. North Korea has been unresponsive to other recent proposals by the South, and some projects between the Koreas have stalled in the face of international sanctions. Over the new year, Kim promised a new weapon was coming in the face of, quote, gangster-like pressure from the United States. But he signaled there was still room for dialogue with the U.S., something Moon said on Tuesday must continue.
That's Michelle Hennessy reporting. Happening now in Asia, authorities in Japan have issued an arrest warrant for the wife of former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn, who fled the country last week while awaiting trial on charges of financial misconduct. Prosecutors have accused Carol Ghosn of providing false testimony in a Tokyo court last year in her husband's case. Remember to stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. The 2020 Consumer Electronics Show kicked off Tuesday in Las Vegas. People flocked to CES to see the latest technologies from big and small companies, robotics, drones, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and how things we use every day are changing thanks to technology. Michelle Quinn reports.
Las Vegas, known for gambling and lights, turns into entirely something else this week. The epicenter of the technology industry. More than 4,000 exhibitors and 170,000 attendees, many from around the world, are here to get their hands on new technology.
Everybody's really looking at technology to help connect themselves better, right? And so every company is realizing that they have to use technology to better future-proof their companies.
More than one-third of visitors to CES are from outside of the United States, drawn to Las Vegas to be part of what the future will hold. One of them is Pierre Runet, who comes to CES from France to show off his robot, Ricci. It plays the game tic-tac-toe with humans and shows sadness when the game is over.
And to us, CES is really a great opportunity to have a lot of buzz, a lot of communication around Ricci and to show what he can really do.
Some unexpected companies are at CES to make a splash. This is the first CES for Charmin, the toilet paper brand, which came to Las Vegas as part of Procter & Gamble's technology display. Today, it's a robot that delivers toilet paper rolls.
Again, you're on the commode, you look over, no toilet paper, nobody there to help. What do? You pull out your smartphone, you fire it up using Bluetooth, and here comes the Charmin robot. It delivers a fresh roll of Charmin to you, saves the day.
There are smart ovens, smart pet doors, smart showers, and more than one smart toothbrush. This one uses radio frequency to clean teeth.
CES is an innovation exhibition, and this is the very innovative. In the dental industry, there are not many innovative products. When we talk about toothbrushes, basically they're more of the same for many, many years now. But this takes brushing to a next level.
Of course, many innovators are working on new things, such as smart glasses that come with eye-tracking technology.
When I look at you, I can ask the glass to give me your name. What's your name? What's his name? For example.
Or brainwave readers, which is something of a new trend this year. This one comes with an app to help a person meditate. Each year, the Consumer Electronics Show is a reminder that even if you think you've seen it all, technology is always changing, even for cute robots. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Las Vegas.
Coming up, a lift for lettuce in Japan. We'll explain. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Exhausted firefighters in Australia are taking advantage of a change of weather to shore up defenses against the massive bushfires that have burned millions of hectares for over 3 months. Badly needed rainfall and cooler temperatures are forecast for southeastern Australia throughout the week. This is VOA Asia. Welcome to Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. The nondescript building on an industrial site near Kyoto, Japan, gives little hint to the productivity inside. 30,000 heads of lettuce grow here every day under artificial light and with barely any human intervention. This vegetable factory, using the latest vertical farming techniques, is part of a trend born out of necessity in Japan, where traditional farming faces a double threat from the aging population and migration toward the cities. One of the few companies to turn a quick profit, Spread produces 11 million head of lettuce every year from its latest factory in Kyoto, a vast sterile area where the vegetables are stacked on shelves several meters high. Senji Anata, who started the Spread business, said that a new way of growing the produce was a necessity.
It's true that we use more energy compared to production using the sun, but on the other hand, our productivity is higher on a similar surface area. We have a cycle which allows us to produce 8 times the same lettuce in 1 year, and we have more effective space management by using height.
Spread's lettuce is found on supermarket shelves in Kyoto and the capital, Tokyo. Mananato says he has grand expansion visions to move production closer to where the vegetables are consumed. Retailers in Thailand kicked off the new year with a ban on single-use plastic bags, joining the battle against throwaway carriers in the Southeast Asian nation, where citizens go through an average of 8 bags every day. The move taken by several major mall operators and the 7-Eleven convenience store chain is aimed at replacing the plastic, with customers paying a small fee for a reusable bag made of a cloth-like fabric. Some shoppers, however, like Biraj Singchero Kiko, were unimpressed at having to pay for the new bags.
What if we pay at least 500 Thai baht and they give us a free cloth bag? It's not much. If we use these bags, they would be better off and richer, but other people will suffer. I admit that it can help with the problem of global warming.
The European Commission estimates some 70% of plastic waste clogs the world's oceans, killing a range of species from turtles, seals, whales, and seabirds to fish and shellfish. I'm Ira Melman with Business Scene. This news break from VOA Asia. Environmental groups say Indonesia's flood-hit capital Jakarta must protect and plant trees, stop extracting so much groundwater, and develop long-term plans together with surrounding towns if it's to keep pace with the growing threats from climate change. Flooding has killed at least 60 people there since December 31st. Tabo traveled to the southern region of the state of West Virginia to learn how the lack of connectivity is affecting members of a farming community.
Work starts early at Sprouting Farms in this rural area of West Virginia. Employees handpick the organic produce, rinse, prepare, and box it up on site, ready to distribute to area customers. The farm also serves as a training center for aspiring farmers who want to learn how to grow and market sustainable produce. The challenge is making that process profitable, says project director Fritz Bettner.
In order to improve the bottom line for the farmer, we have to keep what I would call the food hub costs down. So that's the cost of aggregation, distribution, marketing, all those things.
And that, he says, takes broadband connectivity, which is limited or unavailable in rural areas such as this.
Right now, I would say like half of our farmers maybe do not have access to solid internet or even cell phone communication to make these types of transactions happen.
In the town of Hinton, a 30-minute drive from Sprouting Farms, connectivity is not an issue. Once a thriving railroad community, the town now depends on high-speed internet to connect with the outside world. Ken Allman says his online business venture, which connects hospitals and physicians around the world, would not exist without access to high-speed internet.
The fact that our team of people in Hinton, West Virginia, are working with people in Mumbai, India, or in Tel Aviv, Israel, to solve problems in our field across the U.S., speaks to the magic of what broadband and mobile can do in a small community.
Joe Browse agrees. As executive director of the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, his job is to help stimulate and promote economic development in the region. But he says lack of connectivity is hindering that objective.
Businesses expect it. Households expect it. If people want to live here, they need to have access. It's an aspect of being in the modern world.
The topography of the state and low population levels are among the reasons why affordable broadband is lacking, he says. But he remains hopeful.
Our Economic Development Agency works with the state of West Virginia to kind of look at creative solutions to it that might involve a mixture of grant and loan programs to entities that can own the fiber and help with the delivery system.
He points to Hinton as an ideal model.
By many standards, it's a small place, but it's actually ahead of the game in terms of providing broadband. That's the story we want to tell all over the state and rural Appalachia.
That's encouraging news for Fritz Bettner.
If I'm thinking about the future and we're going to grow these farmers and they're going to be doing more and we want more farmers in the network, that connectivity issue needs to be dealt with.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Somers County, West Virginia.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. Asthma is often controlled with an inhaler or sometimes with medication. When neither works, that might be that the patient doesn't have asthma at all. VOA's Carol Pearson reports that researchers have found another disease with the same symptoms as asthma that actually starts in the stomach.
For more than a decade, Michelle Skeldon kept getting stronger and stronger medications for asthma as her breathing became more and more difficult.
Just to walk up maybe 5 steps, you know, was extremely hard for me, and it was hard to breathe. And at one point, I was actually on oxygen.
After a serious case of pneumonia, Skeldon's lung specialist sent her to see Dr. Jeffrey King, a gastroenterologist at National Jewish Health in Denver, Colorado.
What we try to do is take a step back and say, is there a root cause of those lung symptoms, and is it possible that this isn't asthma?
Tests showed Skeldon's stomach acid was flowing back into her esophagus, the tube that connects the mouth and the stomach. King says she did not have asthma.
It is very common for us to see people here at National Jewish who have come to us with a diagnosis of asthma, and once we put them through formal pulmonary testing, we actually find that they probably don't have asthma at all.
Some reflux is normal, but when the contents of the stomach travel up the esophagus and into the back of the throat, the liquid can flow into the airway and enter the lungs.
That can cause a slew of symptoms, including cough, hoarseness, shortness of breath, pneumonias.
What Skeldon had was gastroesophageal reflux disease, often called by its acronym GERD. Risk factors for GERD can include obesity or pregnancy, smoking, eating fatty or fried foods, and drinking coffee or alcohol can increase the symptoms. Losing weight or making other lifestyle changes can help. So can medication, or even surgery, which Skeldon had, to prevent her stomach contents from reaching her lungs.
As soon as I had the surgery done, it was a totally different world. You know, the coughing stopped. It was amazing. It was like night and day.
Left untreated, GERD can lead to permanent lung damage or even esophageal cancer. King says GERD is something to be taken seriously.
If a patient is having more and more symptoms, is requiring more and more medications, or is not responding to those medications as well as they previously did, that should set off alarm bells that some other condition may be causing their symptoms.
Skeldon is relieved that her life is once again back to normal with no shortness of breath. Carol Pearson, VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Data from NASA's new planet-hunting spacecraft, the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, or TESS, has led to its first discovery of a circumbinary planet, or one that orbits two stars. Now called TOI 1338b, the planet was discovered by a high school student who spent last summer as an intern at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. The space agency says that the exoplanet resides in a system 1,300 light-years away in the constellation Pictor, and that the stars orbit each other every 15 days. According to NASA, TOI 1338b is the only planet known to exist in the system. Its size is described as being between that of Neptune and Saturn. TESS finds exoplanets by detecting dips in a star's brightness, signaling that a planet is passing in front of it. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, and take VOA Asia with you. Why not visit our VOAnews.com program page and see us on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter. In fact, there's no way you cannot get to hear us. And let's hear from you. VOA Asia Facebook and our email, VOAasia@VOAnews.com. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Dan Crafton. Diane Gao, our managing editor, and our team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Make sure you enjoy your day.